You are listening to election coverage with Justice and Drew on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
Let's get it started in
This is Justice and Drew. We are live from the GOP victory party here at the Radisson Blue at the Mall of America. I am Drew. That's John Justice. We got the lovely and talented Sam Sansevier in here with us.
Hello.
People have just begun to come into the room. We have the large monitor set up as we take a look at Fox News and looking at the projected wins coming up, the states that are that we're waiting to come in. If you do a quick rundown of where we stand so far, no big shockers yet. Everything is pretty much playing out basically the way that you would expect if you were looking at the Electoral College map, and that's fairly typical. You know, having gone through a couple of these elections, this is usually how it plays out early. You see a bit of a back and forth that kind of teases us back and forth, but nobody on either side, on Clinton's side or Trump's side, has really made any major moves to pick up something or to indicate that currently it's going to be anything more than a close race. I think the biggest thing, at least in my opinion, the biggest thing so far is the projection of potentially 140 million people voting in this election, which would make this a historic election and something we haven't seen, especially based off the fact that most people are saying that this is going to be decided by the voters that are voting this evening, which hasn't really happened since Reagan ran for office. So you are looking at a historic evening regardless of the outcome.
We are looking at historic turnout. John and myself and Sam will be live here at the Radisson. We're going to be covering your presidential race, obviously, as well as we're looking at a lot of congressional races. We also have back at the station, we've got our Minnesota desk manned by Mike Franklin and Brian McDaniel, our friends from the Wrong About Everything podcast. Gentlemen, are you there?
We are here. How you guys doing?
Excellent. Excellent. And how you guys doing over there?
And it is manned.
It is manly manned.
Yep. You know, this is Mike. I already have to take issue. You know, nobody in the listening audience will know whether Brian or I are lovely and or talented.
Well,
I'm the only lovely and talented man.
I was trying to be kind.
Okay. I'm looking at the photo on Facebook right now, Mike, and I would say based off the photo, Mike, you're going lovely and Brian's going talented currently.
Well,
if we're going based off the photo alone.
Well, Mike's the looks, Brian's the brains.
Yeah, that's the way it's gone. And you saw from my hat that says freedom on the front, and on the back it says nothing grows without it.
Hey, Brian, I want to ask you, just to kind of get a lay of the land really quick, from a Minnesota standpoint, not looking at the national race right now, but what is the vibe? I'll let you guys both respond, Brian and Mike. What's the vibe right now as it relates to the races, the one ballot initiative that we're all keeping an eye on? Just kind of give me your gut feeling, having gone through the day now and as we begin our journey into this election evening.
Well, I think that what we're seeing is, as you know, America itself is getting more polarized, you're seeing that with the state of Minnesota as well, where the Republicans keep getting stronger in greater Minnesota. The Democrats, of course, have the core cities, and the Democrats are making major inroads in the suburbs. So I think tonight what we're going to be looking for is probably some Democrat gains in the suburbs, but can the Republicans win enough new seats in greater Minnesota and hold on to enough in the suburbs to maintain the majority?
And John, this is Mike, it's really the script from 2014 when the Minnesota House went Republican. That was exactly what happened, is the Republicans really swept in greater Minnesota, held their own in, and actually really only picked up one net seat in the suburbs, where I think they had been expecting to do very well. The fun thing to, that'll be, the thing that'll be fun to watch tonight is whether that can hold true for the Senate 2 years later. The Senate is essentially looking at the same map that the House had 2 years ago, and really can attain a majority simply through winning seats that are currently nested, which means they already are held by two Republican House members and a Democratic senator.
Well, and I'm really curious, both on a local level, on a state level, and obviously on a national level, if any of what we're hearing now ends up changing. Now, there's no indication of that so far, but with again the storyline developing that we are looking at historic numbers, and even going out and voting today, and we'll be talking about that throughout the broadcast tonight on Twin Cities News Talk. But, you know, even locally, I think we all experienced, and I did today, an overwhelming number of people, and most everybody seems to be saying that there's a larger group that went out and voted, and we're seeing that on a national level. I'm really, really curious to see how much of the exit polling ends up ringing true when everything is counted based on how close the election is. And then locally, you know, whether or not, and we'll be looking to you guys, whether or not any of these local races, we're going to have to wait a while because so many people have gone out and voted later in the day than what we're used to seeing.
I think it's going to be interesting to see what areas have that increased turnout. Because, you know, I live in the South Metro, and I didn't necessarily see huge numbers down by me. But, you know, I certainly have on Facebook and Twitter seen that things in Minneapolis and St. Paul seem to really be backing up. So it might just be that traditional Democrat voters are in traditional Democrat areas are coming out to try to usher in, you know, the first female president. It'll be very interesting to see whether that happens in other parts of the metro and in greater Minnesota.
We are live with election night results. We'll be here till as long as we need to. Tonight, basically.
That's
we'll
right.
We'll be here as long
maybe
as we need to.
Maybe we'll be here until 9 a.m. tomorrow.
Here are the states that have been called so far. I'm going to list off the Trump states first. We've got Kentucky, Indiana, South Carolina, West Virginia, Mississippi, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and Missouri. No huge surprises there. You could kind of maybe say West Virginia kind of surprised, but not really. The states that have been called for Clinton so far, you've got Vermont, Delaware, Illinois, Maryland, Rhode Island, D.C., Massachusetts, and New Jersey. That puts us at an electoral count of 68 for Clinton, 67 for Trump. As last precincts were rolling in Florida, last I saw, Clinton had taken a slight lead, but they are projecting that Marco Rubio has won re-election in the Florida Senate. Whether that bodes well for Trump down there or not remains to be seen.
Yeah, we're looking at right now some of the big states and the ones that we're going to be keeping an eye on, obviously, and let's go to the biggest one, and that's Florida. And I've been watching this just go back and forth for the past hour. Currently, it's essentially neck and neck. It's 49% to 48%. And I swear, I think if you did a quiz on the American public that actually follows elections outside of Florida, I think Florida is one of the few states where people could actually rattle off different counties and precincts in Florida, because every single election cycle we end up talking about them all the time.
Yep.
And I was talking with Drew.
And it's such a bizarre state when you look at the demographics, when you look at the breakdown. You've got so many different cultures that make up Florida. South Florida is very different than Central Florida. It's very different than the metros of Orlando and Tampa. Then you get into North Florida, South Georgia, as we call it, over in the Panhandle, East Alabama. There's all sorts of weird dynamics at play when you look at Florida as a whole.
And we were talking earlier, and I was listening to commentary on the drive down to the Radisson tonight for the broadcast here at the GOP Victory Party, and I know you were talking with Sam about this, and the Panhandle was coming into play in a big way. And as a matter of fact, one of Trump's sons had come on Sean Hannity and said that they needed to get out the vote of the Panhandle because it was going to end up having a huge impact, because Florida was going the way of Trump better than they expected. But because of the time difference in that portion of the state, the polls stay open an hour later than they do anywhere else. And so it was really interesting, because they were actually saying, go on Twitter, go on Facebook. If you have friends, if you have family in that area, get out and vote. I mean, that's when we're talking about how tight this is and how important Florida is, that's where it was coming down to. Again, these tiny areas in parts of Florida, where, you know, people say so it's a microcosm of the rest of the U.S. because so many people move down to that area, it ends up becoming a crucial state.
Mike, you said you were looking at some county by county results down there. Anything jump out at you?
Yeah, first of all, and I was just going to jump in, even though I'm supposed to be the Minnesota desk. The race in Florida right now, as a live shot, is within with nearly 8 million votes cast. It is within 700 votes, according to NBCNews.com.
Wow.
Talk about every single vote count.
Hashtag recount.
I've been tracking several counties, Duval County, which is Jacksonville, which Mitt Romney won by 4. George W. Bush won by 16. Donald Trump is ahead there right now by 1 point. In Hillsborough County, which is Tampa, it's a Obama Democratic county. He won solidly. Hillary's there, winning there by 9. But interestingly, just to the north, Pasco County, which is just north of Tampa now. Drew, of course, you're from Florida, so these names may mean more to you than they do to me. The description I read is leans are. And Republicans, Romney won it by 6. Trump is currently ahead there by 22.
Well, you know what they say, as goes Pasco County, Florida, so goes the nation.
Well,
I've been saying that all my life.
Hopefully.
And I think it's really important that people know, too, that one of the narratives developing early or late this afternoon was that this was going to be an election decided by the evening voters, and that doesn't normally happen. And the last time that it happened, you have to go back to Reagan, when you had those that were going out after work and casting their ballots. Usually, you can get a pretty good snapshot of how the election is going to go based off of who votes earlier in the day. Now, the one takeaway on that, and do what you will with it, that usually benefits Republicans. Normally, when you have circumstance, and when you look at history, when elections are decided by evening voters, usually you can say advantage. It may not be a lot, and based off how close this race is, who knows what's going to happen, but that tends to be an advantage towards Republicans. So, I guess to say that is, right now, with it being as close as it is, we got a long night ahead of us, and a lot of different races that are going to be very, very close and probably looked at in a lot of detail.
So stay with us. We are live. We will be here till whenever we need to be here. We're going to stay live until we know something worth reporting. We got Mike and Brian down back at the station watching the Minnesota results for us. We're watching the presidential. We're watching the congressional races. This is Justice and Drew on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130.
Talk AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Justice and Drew here at the Radisson Blue. We're at the GOP Victory Party tonight as we watch the early returns, and it is early. It looks like it's going to be a long night. Citizen discount landslide just means it's going to be a long night. It's going to be a slow building.
It's a slow-moving landslide.
Slow-moving landslide
right.
Victory.
Okay, yeah. But
like a mudslide.
But if he gets Florida, I feel like it's like right now it's slow. And then
stop,
boom,
guys. Stop it.
Speaking of Florida, this is Mike, just with an election in closeness update.
Yeah.
The Florida vote is now within 28 votes.
Oh my God.
Okay. You're making that up.
I'm not making it up.
You're making that up.
Wow.
3.983 million for each, and the last three digits are begin with 2. They're within 28 votes.
Wow.
That's insanity.
Mike,
crazy.
Mike and Brian are back at the studios manning the Minnesota desk.
Apparently also the Florida desk.
In the Florida desk. Yeah, you've become our go-to Florida peeps. You know, it's interesting. It's funny you mentioned that, though, just as a quick aside. I went to go and vote today, and I've gone and gotten my Minnesota driver's license. Melinda hasn't done it yet because she's paranoid of taking the test, and we won't get into that right now.
So unrelated.
But I didn't have my hard copy yet. I just had my paper copy, and so I went in and I registered on the spot. And because of the circumstances, I ended up having to vouch for Melinda to get her to be able to vote. And talk about going through a process that was frightening as we're standing there, because Melinda doesn't follow politics that much. In the middle of signing everything, she looks at me and she goes, "This seems really sketchy. I don't know if I feel good about you doing this.
Right.
Why are they letting you? I could be anybody." And I go, that
ding, ding,
is
ding,
the
ding,
problem.
Ding.
But more to the point, guys, it was funny. As I was sitting there, I wondered, you know, what if Minnesota came down to 2 votes? And what if it was our 2 votes?
Oh, no.
What if that was the impact that we had through all of that?
Well, thank goodness that you moved here in that case.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, pretty amazing.
Well, John, to that point, I believe it was in, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, it was in 2012, State Representative Mary Franzen ended up winning her race by one vote.
That is correct.
Wow.
Yep, one vote.
You know, I had many conversations with people as I was out and about today, and one thing was clear as we watched this whole thing play out, regardless of what the outcome is. You know, Trump has started something here, and it'll be interesting to see whether or not he wins, how it ends up resonating in the year to come, in the years to come. It's obvious that the people want something different. They're tired of the way that things have been going, and just based off the conversations that I was having today with so many different people and people that didn't get involved in politics, it really felt more like a movement where, and I read this earlier today, so this isn't coming from me, but somebody made a point that when people went out and voted for Obama, they were voting for the man and not necessarily a movement. And what Trump started, regardless of whether or not he wins tonight, really feels to me like a movement, which is why I've been so confident in saying that I really feel like he's going to end up winning tonight, landslide or not.
Landslide.
You have to, for that to be true, there has to be a lot of voters out there that discount the man and vote for the movement.
Right. And I think people did that.
Yeah, I think, we'll see.
I did that.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that did that, that they're just so fed up with everything and fed up with Hillary and all the scandal. Trump has his own scandals, but the lying and the emails and everything. I think people are going to vote against that.
We are, phone lines are open as well. We've neglected to mention that. If you want to call in and you want to share your experience today at your polling place, 651-989-5855 is the number. Also, we are following the TCNT hashtag on Twitter, so you can communicate with us that way as well. Trump and Clinton currently tied in Florida. Clinton has a slight lead in Ohio with the early results in as well. As far as states that have been called, there has not been any new updates since the last rundown. We're still looking at 68 electoral votes for Clinton, 67 for Trump, with most of the states that have been called gone the way you would have expected them to gone.
Mike and Brian back at the Minnesota desk, back in the studio. Did you guys get a chance to talk to anybody in the confidence level of the races that we're watching and what the feeling was going into this evening for some of those local races? Was there a shift in momentum that was felt locally as there was, you know, obviously in the past week or so nationally as it relates to Donald Trump?
You know what? And this is Brian. I want to say that did happen. Last night I was on the phone and texting with many people, mostly in the House, and we were running through certain races that are definitely in play. You know, I live in Dakota County, so I was focusing a lot on those races as well, and I found that there was a lot more optimism about how those races are ultimately going to play out, and then also that there just continues to be a wave for Republicans, which probably is fueled a little bit by the top of the ticket in rural Minnesota. So I feel a lot more confident today that the House majority will be retained in the House than I did yesterday or the week before or the month before.
I think that's really good on a state level, at least with all the
Twin Cities,
with all the Minshew news, with all the Obamacare news, it feels like there's a lot of momentum for Republicans, at least on a Minnesota level.
Yeah, let me just supplement that. I'll be the dour naysayer of the group. I would call it relative optimism. I think there's been reason for optimism all along, but I think there's among the sort of political class, which I suppose is its own answer if you want to look at it through this prism, but among the political class, I think there's been some concern for the past year, really, that the bottom would fall out on, because of Donald Trump in certain parts of the state, namely the suburbs. And, thankfully, for those of us who are looking at it through that prism, that has not happened. The best thing we could have hoped for was a close race, for those of us looking at races in CD2, CD, 8 and the election, the House and Senate majorities, which will go through the suburbs and, as Brian says, to some extent also in greater Minnesota.
Well, and one thing to remember is in 2014, you know, Mike and I were on the air with you guys, and there was a DFL majority in the House, and the House Republicans really needed to sweep all of the rural seats that were in play to get the majority. They ended up doing that. This year, Minority Leader Paul Thiessen with the Democrats, he has a path to victory. He has a path to the speakership. But for that to happen, it's narrow, so he would really have to win all of the seats that are in play in the suburbs in order to achieve that, and I don't know that I see that happening.
You know, before we get to the bottom of the hour, our polls are going to be closing in Arkansas. There's been some interesting observations, again, looking at on the national level, and some narratives or lines of thinking that have been changing drastically, and I think it's going to end up changing the landscape of certainly elections to come. One of them being just, you know, so we're talking about Florida, this Hispanic vote, and what's been, at least per exit polling, and this could change, but what's been talked about this evening and what's been discovered is that there has been a large segment of the Hispanic population that's been coming out to vote. An extra, some they say 22%. Some 22% said it was their first time voting. Of those, some 15%, it was their first day in the country. So that being said, what's interesting about it is the split isn't what you would expect it to be. It is not going predominantly to Hillary Clinton. There's a large percentage of that Hispanic vote that is also going to Donald Trump. And it really fits into an idea that many of us, certainly those that have spent time in border states, know, and that is the legal population, and especially those who immigrated to the country legally, are just as frustrated by illegal immigration as everybody else is.
Well, perhaps even more so.
Even more so. And so what's happened here is it almost negated itself. The uptick in the surge in Hispanic voting ended up not benefiting, at least so far, Hillary Clinton in the way that so many Democrats thought, you know, the Hispanic vote means that they're all going to vote for Hillary, and it just turned out that it wasn't the case, and it's something that most of us knew.
This is Justice and Drew. We are live from the Radisson and Blue Mall of America. We're going to be here until we know something to report. We'll be here as long as we need to be. Quick update on Florida. I'm looking at the Secretary of State website and at the latest numbers directly from the Department of Elections or Division of Elections website in Florida is Trump with exactly one percentage point lead, 48.96 to 47.96 to Clinton. So this is going to be a fascinating race to watch. This is going to really tell a big story, at least as far as the East Coast Central Time Zone results start to roll in.
Well, one of the things we need to look at too is, and maybe during the next break, we can get a look at what counties we're waiting on, because that'll certainly be an indicator of the way the rest of the night go, and certainly how Florida might go, depending on, you know, which of the counties in Florida we're waiting to come in and how they voted in the past.
Well, and one other update that we can give is it looks like they are calling the Indiana Senate race for Todd Young. So it looks like he has quite handily defeated Evan Bayh.
Good.
So that is one more brick in the wall that I shouldn't say. Well, one more brick in the wall that
wall just got 10 feet higher.
Yeah.
You know, the funny part is Evan Bayh is paying for that wall.
Yeah. That the GOP will need to retain the Senate.
Having spent some time in Indiana, I lived there for a few years. Evan Bayh's a giant tool. I'm just gonna come right out and say it.
Yeah, so you're happy that he was defeated, not only
happy
for the Republican
Socket
Party.
Rich,
but
what you're saying.
Evan Bayh is one of those politicians that he's nothing but a politician, like to the
core.
Like
Hillary?
Like Hillary, like a lot of people you see around, you know, in politics. He is just a kind of a slimy politician to the core. Couldn't be happier to see him lose his effort to get back to what he feels entitled to, which is his seat in the Senate. Hopefully, we'll see the same thing in Wisconsin with Russ Feingold.
Yeah.
Hopefully,
yeah.
Russ Feingold will lose his re-election.
Our adopted re-election.
But.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's funny how Evan Bayh rhymes with Russ Feingold.
All right, we got a call. Let's go to line one. Dan in Clearwater. Good morning. Good morning.
I'm going to
say that.
Good evening.
Illegal I'm wondering what the legal immigrants that have become citizens, how serious or how upset they are when they heard Obama last week or a couple weeks ago when he was commenting, he was asked a question about whether people would get deported if they voted when they were illegally here. And he not only said that they wouldn't get deported, but then went on to say that he encourages it because even though they're illegal, that they're still citizens of our nation, so they should vote.
Right.
I wonder what the legal...
That's your constitutional scholar, Barack Obama, right there. Yeah,
it was one of those comments that was so open and sort of nuanced, you know, that it was one you could easily grab onto and sort of stick it to him on, but at the same time it was nuanced enough to where people gave it a free pass. Either way, nobody was really shocked to hear those words, you know, coming out of President Barack Obama.
You get the sense Obama's kind of checked out.
Oh, yeah.
He's just kind of checked out.
Yeah. I'm kind of okay with that.
I feel like he's on the senior slide. He's got senioritis right now.
He feels like the rest of us. I don't think he wants Hillary Clinton to win any more than any of us do.
The latest out of Florida before we take a break here, 49.04% for Trump, 47.88% for Clinton. Those panhandle votes are going to be important, and... For those that are wishing for a hashtag landslide, the panhandle should be excited to see the panhandle come in because you got some strong military presence on the panhandle. It's more rural up there, so that could be very beneficial for Trump going forward. However, in another important swing state, he is trending behind in North Carolina right now, as that is also too close to call.
We'll give you all the latest coming up. Justice and Drew, and Mike and Brian, Sam is with us. They're back in the studio. We're here at the GOP Victory Party at the Radisson Blue. We'll be here for you and with you all night. 651-989-5855. Your thoughts on what's happening tonight, your experiences today voting, your phone calls coming up as we continue our live election coverage right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Lee Silasera. Polls closed about a half hour ago in 16 more states and the District of Columbia. Fox News can now project that Republican Donald Trump will win Alabama, Missouri, Mississippi, Oklahoma, and Tennessee. Meanwhile, Democrat Hillary Clinton will easily win her home state of Illinois, and Fox projects she will win New Jersey, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Maryland, Delaware, and the District of Columbia. Earlier, Fox News projected that Donald Trump will win West Virginia and South Carolina, as well as Kentucky and Indiana. Fox News projecting that Florida Republican Marco Rubio retains his Senate seat. And in Indiana, Fox News can now project that Republican Congressman Todd Young will be the next U.S. Senator from Indiana, ending Democrat Evan Bayh's quest to win back his old Senate seat. In Alabama, Fox projects that Senator Richard Selby retains his seat. This is a Fox News alert.
You are listening to election coverage with Justice and Drew on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. We are live from the Radisson Blue election night's results coverage. I am Drew. John Justice is here. The lovely and talented Samantha is joining us. Mike and Brian are back at the studios. They're going to be keeping an eye on the Minnesota results as they start to come in about 22 minutes. Polls are going to close here in Minnesota, so we'll be getting some results shortly after that. A little bit of breaking news right now. They are projecting, not a huge surprise. These early projections are often done because it's expected, but they're projecting Republicans are going to keep the House.
Yeah, it was there for a moment, and then it went away. But I think that's a pretty safe bet at this point in time. And the one thing that we keep discussing too is Florida, which we knew was going to be close. And I don't know what you're looking at over there, Drew, but I'm looking at Trump up by 1 percentage point. And we were
that's
talking
about right.
We were talking hundreds, if not twenties, of votes.
I think it was 28 votes at one point.
It's widened a little bit directly from the Division of Elections website in Florida. You're looking at Trump 49.04% to Clinton 47.88%.
Thank you, Gary Johnson.
So yeah, a little bit of a marginal lead there. Yeah, Gary Johnson
stole some votes away.
it's entirely possible that that the Libertarian ticket is stealing, if not as many, possibly even more votes from the Democratic ticket than they are the Republican, which is a reversal. Now let's look at Ohio real quick. We've got about 20% reporting early in Ohio. You saw a double-digit lead for Clinton as the early precinct started to come in. Now that some more are starting to come in, you're seeing that lead be chipped away. Right now we're looking at 50% Clinton, 46% Trump. So Trump is eating away at that lead just a little bit. North Carolina, Clinton is up by about 4 or 5 points there as well. Is that jibing with what you guys are seeing back at the studio, Mike, Brian?
Yeah, that's what we're seeing. In Ohio, with Clinton up by four, we expect her to bring Andrew Miller in at any point.
That's a sports reference.
Yeah, and
I got it.
That I stole from the internet, sorry.
It wasn't a good one, but...
It was exceptional.
I'm watching North Carolina now. I was watching some of the swing counties. Wake County, which is the seat of the research triangle. It's not really a swing county, but it's sort of a measure of how high can Clinton run up the score. One of the analyses I read said she probably needs to do better than Obama did in 08 to offset some of the gains elsewhere. Then he got 57%. She's currently at 59%, so she is, in fact, doing better than Obama did in 08. I'm looking also at Watauga County, which is on the border with Tennessee.
That's where I went to college.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, your old stomping grounds is voting heavily for Hillary Clinton.
That's not a bit. That's not surprising at all.
Romney did win it 4 years ago, and Obama won it in 08, but only by 1 point. Hillary's currently winning by 13.
Now, we're pretty focused on Florida, and we're always focused on Ohio. I think that, you know, we can't forget that states like North Carolina, which have been traditional Republican states that we could count on, that is not looking particularly great, though there's lots of game left to be played. So, you know, if a state like North Carolina goes to Secretary Clinton, then Trump really has to start looking at more of the Rust Belt states other than Ohio. He has to be looking at Michigan and some other states like that, because he needs to replace those electoral votes.
Well, and at some point, I think we're going to begin to see whether or not the map is changing. That was another one of the another one of the narratives that was sort of emerging early, late this afternoon, early this evening, is that the map, as we're so used to looking at and the way the states normally go, could be changing in dramatic ways tonight. Now, we haven't seen that, but we're not to the states quite yet to where we should be seeing that. And when these next batch of polling numbers close, we'll certainly get a better idea. We're going to go to your phone calls here in a second. And let me just say, though, it's pretty astounding. And again, I don't want to get too far back. I don't want to get too far back from what's happening in terms of the details. But it is pretty astounding how close this race is when you consider the Clinton machine, how much money she pumped into it, all of the negativity towards Trump,
the scandals,
the fact that he didn't, you know, spend nearly as much money, that he had a much different ground game, not seasoned individuals. You know, this is going to be such a fascinating election to look at on so many historic levels. You know, you wonder if we're ever going to see a normal, you know, doing nothing with my fingers election again after how tonight shakes out.
Well, I am of the opinion that I think this is definitely a status quo shakeup type election, and I think what we'll see is a sort of a revert to normalcy for the next cycle. Maybe.
It
needs to be seen.
I mean, I think that you know, I agree with John that I do think that the demographics are shifting, and some states that have been traditional blue states like Michigan might be getting a little bit more red, and some states that have been good for Republicans like Arizona might be getting a little bit more blue. But I think that looking long term, that's still not a great trend for the GOP. And I think that even if this 2016 cycle is ultimately successful, that we have to look at how are we growing the base. That's something that is not a discussion for tonight, but definitely should be a discussion for the next 2 and 4 years.
And the way that these polls end up breaking out and whether or not the polls end up being accurate is going to have a lot to say about how we look at future elections, especially the way the pollsters go and reach out to potential voters and voters to find out how they're planning on voting when we're talking about, again, an election where we're seeing overwhelmingly large turnouts and so much influence that we haven't seen any previous election of social networking and the ability to go and communicate with individuals the way that we never had seen before. Things are definitely shifting.
Let's go to line one. We've got Tony in Forest Lake. Good evening, Tony. I'm going to do that a lot tonight. I guarantee I'm going to do that a lot tonight. Good evening, Tony.
Good evening. You know, I was listening to the radio tonight, and they were talking about a 45-minute delay. I think it was 35 heading north, west. Anyway, you know, I was thinking, all them people, they're so worn out, they're not even going to go vote. There's probably 1,000 votes by the time they got home and cleaned up or went to the poll and waited in line. It was very discouraging. Having said that, you know, the Democrats, for years, they keep talking about the poor being disenfranchised, and you gotta have, they make it so accommodating. My suggestion would be is to pass a law that everybody who wants to take 2 hours off, I know they do it in some cases, that they can do that, either in the morning or in the afternoon, work out something where, because most of the workers are going to vote Republican.
Right.
Most of the people who don't work, are sitting at home, are going to vote Democrat. That's just a fact. And if they're so worried about disenfranchising people, they ought to make it more accommodating for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, and when you look at the exit polling, that's what makes the exit polling so dangerous. Is that when, you know, depending on how accurate the exit polling is, and it's funny because I remember going back to the congressional races and how off they were, and everybody said that the exit polling was dead, and the networks weren't going to do this anymore. And of course, where are we back? We're right back where we were, you know, when that happened. Everybody kind of just forgot about the fact that the exit polling data was so wrong at that point in time. Even when you look at Brexit, but. My point is that it's a frightening scenario if the exit polling's wrong, because people won't go out and vote. Because as you said, Tony, those individuals waiting in cars, depending on where they are around the country, if they get wind listening to shows like ours or other shows around the country and they think that it's been called, they'll turn around and they'll go home. We saw that happen in 2000 in Florida. And I'm glad, just as a side note, I'm glad that Florida is as tight as it is. Because I think all those last-minute voters are going to end up making the biggest difference when it comes to Florida.
49.15 for Trump, 47.75 for Clinton. That's the latest out of Florida. Let's go to line two. Chris? Good evening, Chris.
Yeah, hey, what's going on?
You know, just the election stuff. Just chilling.
I got a comment and a question.
Yeah. Go for it.
I remember when Donald Trump started running. The media was like, he's a clown, he'll be out of it in a couple weeks, blah, 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 right? Okay, my question is, who's laughing now?
I might want to ask that question tomorrow.
Yeah.
Let's take a breath and pump the brakes. I'm getting too arrogant here.
And look, Chris, as somebody who, and I'll explain it, thanks for the phone call, and I'll get into this a little bit, just briefly coming up after the next break, but be that as it may, I think it is worth saying that if you had any other GOP candidate tonight, we would not be watching what's playing out right now happening.
Well, and I will just say this. Look at the Rubio race in Florida.
Yeah.
I mean, the final tallies aren't in, but they called that early.
Right.
And it looks like a bit of a trouncing. Now, granted, the strength of his opponent is relevant to that, but... There's going to be, you know, if this does end up going Clinton's way, I mean, there's going to be some buyer's remorse. There's going to be some people with some buyer's remorse when you look at how Rubio did in Florida. I mean, that was a candidate that I think wouldn't have had too much trouble beating Clinton.
And you know what? Based off the early exit polling data, 90% of Clinton's base was going for Clinton, and 90% of the GOP base was going for Trump, which means the never Trump crowd in effect didn't really have any effect on this, and that's going to be worthy of a conversation in the coming weeks as well, especially how we as the GOP treat other individuals who may not be aligning with our candidate, because it turns out at the end of the day, the Never Trump crowd may not have had any factor in this election at all. 651-989-5855. We continue our live broadcast from the Radisson Blue here at the Minnesota GOP Victory Party. Again, Mike and Brian back at the studio. Sam is here. I am Justice. That is Drew. Back to more of your phone calls and the latest election returns next on Twin Cities News Talk.
You are listening to election coverage with Justice and Drew on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
Polls close Cubs in Minnesota in about 8 minutes. When we come back out after our top of the hour break, we'll start looking at some of what we're seeing happen in Minnesota with Mike and Brian back at the studios manning the Minnesota desk for us. I am Drew. That's John Justice. We are at the Radisson Blue at the Mall of America at the GOP Victory Party watching the national results start to roll in. We're seeing, let's see, the latest is Trump with 76 electoral votes, Clinton with 68 electoral votes. Florida is going to be a nail biter. The lead in Ohio has been chipped away pretty significantly. Clinton 49, Trump 47. Also North Carolina, Clinton 49, Trump 47. Those are the latest numbers I'm looking at from Real Clear Politics.
Yeah, you look at Michigan too, and Michigan's within five. Not sure exactly what the percentage of the vote has come in yet. It's clear at the moment, and listening to some of the commentary, that nobody's really ready to go and start leaning either way. You know, a couple of these big states are going to have to fall a certain direction before I think anybody has any kind of confidence to begin to sort of point to who is heading to victory. Mike and Brian back in the TCNT studios. What are your guys' thoughts so far?
Yeah, one state, guys, that I've been keeping an eye on here is Virginia. Virginia is still listed as too close to call with 60% in, and Trump is leading by 5 points. And what's interesting is it appears that all the counties are reporting results, and that there might be, if you're going by 2012 results, there may be about 500,000 votes left, maybe about 800,000 if you want to inflate it, but still, that's a lot of ground to make up for Clinton. And I'm surprised at this point in the night that that's a state that nobody was counting as a swing state, at least to my knowledge.
No, that was relatively widely considered to be a pretty safe Clinton state.
Well, and again, you know, when you look at that, that could be one of your first indications of the electoral map changing.
And again,
if that's the case, then sort of our traditional focus, Florida, is still obviously a big linchpin in all this. But if you see a state like Virginia go, then you really got to start calling into question, okay, as we begin to move west, are there other states? And look, my confidence level in Minnesota isn't high, but are there other opportunities that Trump might have to pick up in places where people thought that he wouldn't?
Well, and I think that'll ultimately be the question. I think at this point, some of the states that have been a little bit more in play than you would think, like Arizona and Georgia and states like that, I mean, we really have to keep our eye on them all night, wait to see how they're going to be, because I think the map is changing. And if I could just address something that the last caller said. He said, you know, kind of who's laughing now. Well, I think correctly, we all think nobody's laughing yet.
No.
But if Donald Trump wins the presidency, the Republicans keep the House and the Senate nationally, and we retain the House in Minnesota, then I think some of the people who have been critical of Trump, you know, myself included, will have to you know, eat a little bit of crow. But ultimately, if those things don't all happen, then I don't know that anyone should be laughing.
Well, let's look at this from a, I don't think pragmatic's the right word, but let's look at that dynamic from the angle of, guys, I think we can all agree, wouldn't that make sense? And what I mean by that is, when you're talking about an election with a GOP candidate that is so unconventional in terms of, most people would argue that he's not a staunch conservative. Most people would argue that they voted for him. A lot of people voted for him to send a message. We talked quite a bit on this morning's Justice and Drew about the different factions that are getting involved in politics now, and specifically, not to get too far into the weeds, but when you look at, you know, the Occupy movement and the Tea Party movement and the people within those groups that actually end up mixing together, even though they might differ on ideologies, I think it makes some sense to say that, well, it should not come as a shock that we might see the map changing based off the demographic of voters and what people are actually going out and the message they're trying to send.
Well, and John, this is Brian, and for listeners of the podcast, you know, what the Wrong About Everything podcast is two Republicans, two Democrats. The two Democrats on the podcast, Javier Murillo and Karen Moratz, have a lot to say and a lot of connections to Florida. Javier, with a lot of connections connections to the Hispanic and Latino community down there, and he has been talking on the podcast about just the wave of Latino voters that were going to carry Secretary Clinton to victory in Florida. And Karen, like Drew, is a Florida native, and she was actually just down there, I believe, last week or the week before. And both of them kind of reported that Florida was going to go Clinton very easily. That obviously is not the case. And I find that to be fascinating. I think Trump is going to win Florida. And that certainly goes against everything that we've heard coming out of Florida about the influx of the female and the Latino vote.
Well, a lot of it's going to depend on where the counties are, what counties are still being counted. And I don't have that up in front of me at the moment. Before we run out of time, though, I want to take line one, Richard. Richard, good evening.
I called early in the election.
Yeah?
And I said Donald Trump was going to win.
Okay.
Well, guess what?
Okay. He won?
Did he win?
Are we breaking news?
Are we? Do you know what? Do you have state counts?
As much as they want to analyze Emilio Santinello's flip-flops, he is our next president.
Okay. All right. You know what? I appreciate your optimism. It's something that I can relate to. As Sam, I think we're still on board. I'm thinking.
Let's fly.
Yeah. Night's still young.
Yeah, I hope the people have gotten their grocery shopping done, because they're going to be stuck in their houses after this landslide.
It's a much more dangerous landslide because it's moving so slowly.
Right.
It's so hard to get out from under because you're trapped and it's not washing over you and then allowing you to get out. The slow election landslide
is much more
painful.
I think that it's slow and it's very, very, I mean, we're not sure, but then if we win Florida, I think that it's all going to come crashing down.
I understand we've had an addition to our Minnesota desk, Amy Koch.
Hey, good evening, guys. How are you?
Good evening.
My favorite Republican woman.
Aw, Sam. Back at you, millennial.
I like you more than Mike.
Well, thank you. That's saying something.
Hey, to be fair, most people do.
Now, Amy, you've got some more Florida news for us here.
About 30 seconds? Yep, the counties that are out, apparently the big ones are a lot of Broward, a lot of Palm Beach, and a fairly significant Miami-Dade. So they're saying that tens of thousands could be made up there for Hills, but there's also some other counties out for Trump, so it is going to go down, but you should see those numbers shift.
All right,
we're
going to get a Fox News update right here. More with Justice and Drew, Sam, Mike, Brian, Amy back at the Minnesota desk. Minnesota polls are closing in 10 seconds, guys.
Broadcasting on AM 1130, 103.5 FM, 100.3 HD2, and worldwide on iHeartRadio. This is the Twin Cities News Talk Station, KTLK AM, Minneapolis.